Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Fiesta-driven episode. Yes, I'm saying Fiesta. Of wrestling and whatever. I'm your host, Mikey Dangerously. With me, as always, the hosts with the most, we got Mr. J Glow and Mr. The Ben Wayne. And boys, we're talking about all things retirement. That's what we're doing, because we're going to retire. We're retiring. No, we'll never retire. No, it'll never
over happen. My dead body.
But, like, seriously, can we bring this up first? I guess first top of the hour, if you will. The retirements of NXT legends, I should say.
Yikes.
Kyle O'Reilly. More so, I would say, Mr. NXT himself, Mr. Takeover, Mr. Johnny Takeover. We're talking about Mr. Johnny Gargano. Like, what's going on with NXT? Why are these people getting let go?
What's up with that? I think it's out with the old, in with the new, to be honest with you. But, I mean, they're not old.
What the fuck is the new?
The new 2.0. Oh, God. This just has Vince and Brucey fucking written all over it.
We're not even close personal friends of Bruce Richards and Vince McMahon, but
Bruce
we know
Richards.
How. Oh wow, Bruce Pritchard. Sorry,
that must be his counterpart.
Is he a different guy?
Yeah,
that's Stevie Richards, his long lost second brother.
But I don't know. It seems like you could tell the writing's on the wall. Raw. I can't fucking talk.
You want to start over?
No, let's just keep going. Roll it. We'll fucking do it on there. We'll do it live. We are.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
God, I miss that dog.
God damn it.
That's the only thing that was good in the 90s was that fucking dog.
Bruce Richards.
Fucking dog. Was that the name of the Bush's baked beans dog?
Maybe it was.
I think it was. Come to think of it, I remember his name being Bruce.
Yeah, it had to have been. And his
it
last
all
name
comes
to been.
Back to the beans.
But I mean,
it's all
I
about
think
the beans.
Beans.
I think the writing has been on the wall for a while with NXT. It seems like it's trying, like you said, Raw 2.0 is pretty much what it is. They're getting rid of that old rule book that Triple H had, and they're like, "Now let's just make this Raw." And it never was. NXT was never Raw. What was good in your when you used to watch it, Ben? NXT. Hmm. What was good about it that was like, okay, this isn't like Raw or SmackDown?
You know, like, I'm going to go back to Balor, Nakamura, and the Samoa Joe era. Like, I only watched NXT. I was fucking enthralled. I was buying shirts. I was fucking, okay, who's the dude that fucking takes the pictures of himself? Because I can't remember his name right now. And he had a tag team with Breezango. Who was that team?
Tyler Breeze. Yep.
Tyler Breeze, bro, boys. I have a Tyler Breeze shirt. That's how fucking much mark I was at the time. And, you know, he was going crazy in that era with Joe and Nakamura and fucking, it was just so good. There was so much good wrestling fucking, and I don't know what they did. He had a group of guys like Heyman did in that ECW era that believed his hype. And they all just fucking were, you know, going out there to make the best show. You know, like the Asuka and the Bayley and the Sasha Banks era. Like, how good was NXT? Come on. It was better than fucking AEW.
Women's Revolution, really.
It was so good. And I don't know what's happened. Like, I know it started falling off. They started calling guys up, bringing new talent in. But now it's the most depleted I've seen it. And I mean, I think this is what they wanted to do, like a farm team. I don't think they want any stars anymore shining in NXT. It's all going to be call-ups. I don't think it's going to be anybody we're going to have down there like a Balor or a Joe or a big, you know, like a draw in order to compete with AEW because that day's over. They're not going to compete with AEW. They don't care to. They just want to do that talent, like, development deal again.
Ben, do you think, like, them having, like, the Triple H or the Paul Heyman, do you think when they have those hype men that are in behind the scenes rallying the troops, do you think that makes or breaks a promotion in a sense?
Like, I think it makes it. Yeah. 100%. I could tell you so many different promotions that had a good writer or a good booker, and that's when the talent thrived. Because all you have to do is make your talent, give your talent the opportunity to get over. Because that's where they make their money. If, like, okay, I'm going to go back to the NWA. If Dusty Rhodes books 10 matches and, you know, fucking at least in those matches, those guys, whether they're lose, draw, count out, whatever the fuck the termination is at the end, as long as everyone gets over, they all love Dusty, because at the end of the day, they're all getting over and they're, you know, doing their promos. WWE's not like that. And also, someone just said that in AEW. Adam Cole did. Fuck, I was going to, hopefully I'm glad I remember this. He said in AEW, it doesn't matter if you're at the start, the middle, or the end. Everyone's important. And that's what Heyman used to do. That's what Dusty did. That's what Sullivan did in the 90s when WCW blew up. Everyone got over. Every match was important. You wanted to see Ray in Psychosis, and you wanted to see the Outsiders versus Sting and Luger at the end, and everybody in between was just as important because we were all building towards the end. And that kind of doesn't happen too much in WWE. All they care about is their main guy, Roman, or fucking whoever's on Raw. Big E's still the champ there. As long as those two guys are in the main event picture, they don't care. And I know this is a long tangent, but Jake, what do you think?
No, I 100% agree with you. And to go back with what you said about Heyman, he really, and Mikey, you know this more than anyone here. He did that with SmackDown.
So not even with ECW, like you said, with SmackDown, with that, what was it, 8 of them? Or it was like Guerrero, Benoit, Mysterio. I'm trying to.
When are you talking dangerously?
Like, I would say, what was that, 2000? Four?
Are you talking about the jump when the Renegades jumped or the Revolution?
No, I'm talking about when Heyman was the writer for SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
When he was the head writer for SmackDown.
Was that during Ruthless Aggression?
Yeah, that was that.
He was in and out so many times, I can't remember which time you're talking about. Like, there was a couple. Heyman was just as the writer of SmackDown, 2 years ago, I think he was, and he dropped out again when AJ, when they moved him to Raw, and then AJ said he wouldn't work with him. Heyman was writing, right?
Right. I'm talking back, I think it Jay back in the was, day, was the, yeah, Ruthless Aggression. He was there for a little bit longer than a cup of coffee. That was the time.
It was in 02.
I'm thinking that's when it was, but like I'm trying to get the names.
I think it was 02 when
it might have been Cena.
What, it was Cena SmackDown? For sure, because that's who got a push out of the Heyman era.
Yeah.
They started putting him against Angle. He had that, you know, the thing with the Taker in the back.
Right. And we're going to just do a quick pause here. We're going to do it at 17:30. We're stopping. Jay Glow, can you hear Ben?
Yeah.
Ben, can you hear Jay Glow?
Yes.
Okay. Talk, say something, Jay Glow.
Like, hi, ask Ben. Him a question. Ben?
Hi, Jay Glow. I can hear you.
That's okay. Weird. Yeah. Is there a latency there? Or is that just...
Well, no, I mean...
I think there's latency.
I think there is, too. Actually, I do think there is.
Here's what happened. When I passed it to Jay Glow, I couldn't hear him. He completely dropped out, and I said hello, because I couldn't hear anything.
That's what I thought so, too. Well, we're still live.
Yeah.
Well, no.
You're going to have to cut this out.
Well, no, we could just stop it when I stop it.
This is behind the curtain, live in a living color.
Woo, yeah!
I did what?
Cult personality.
I said it.
What goes on when you guys aren't listening?
No, we're gonna
smacking people around too.
You're gonna have like a. It's gonna be like a 7-minute taping here, I think, Jago, with this one, and then we could just come back into. I can come back in and ask that same question about SmackDown, or what should I do?
No, all you got to do is say you stop at the Heyman era when you said Heyman was, and then you could just, if you say Heyman was booking in 2002, he could cut that and it'll splice probably together.
Sounds,
probably.
I think you're right. We'll do that. So
didn't hate hearing my voice, I'd do it.
No. Do we want to stop this recording then and start a new one?
Like from the beginning?
No. No?
Yeah.
Just keep going?
Fuck it. I mean, we're already here. People know what we do.
Wow. This is going to stay in the show.
It's not that big of a deal, right?
You know? Wow. Yeah, no.
Wow. Guys,
we're human.
What the fuck? Okay. Listen, I run a professional ship here, God damn it.
I'm not going to cut anything out. You guys are going to see. This is us.
Yeah. We're going for it, I guess.
This is why Jay Glow and I don't do it together. This is why we need Mike here, because we would just keep rolling and it wouldn't fucking matter. What's
Mikey?
We're going live.
The Ben Wayne, Jay Glow, this is your life.
I guess you're right. All right. Sorry about that weird pause.
Is Socko coming in?
That was really... Yurple's here and she's nude.
No. Put your Yurple away. No. Stop it.
Put that petty whistle away. Oh, yeah. Anyone who's still listening to this and hasn't completely exited out yet,
we apologize.
We've been having some technical difficulties, but we're having a great time.
Yeah.
But we'll continue on here. We're mean,
yeah.
Paul Heyman, to answer your question there, Ben. Paul Bear, may he rest in peace.
He was a booker, right?
He was. Oh, back with the
NWA. What,
yeah, I was going to say the NWA days down in Memphis. But Paul Heyman, this is what I think about all the time. Whenever I have a moment to myself and I'm looking at wrestling and I'm thinking wrestling, I think to myself, WWE has everybody. They have everybody. They have all the minds there that can do something. Fuck, even Adam Pearce, he's contributed something that Vince doesn't say, no, I don't like that. Like, there's got to be something that a lot of these guys can all do together where they say, hey, this is the plan. Hey, Vince, remember that book you and Pat Patterson had? And no, not the pick, not the bookshare of the, not the
no,
bookshare.
No, no,
not the book with the pictures of the ring boys. I'm talking about the actual book that said, hey, this is what we're doing from here to there, to there, to there, to there. And if there's injuries, well, we have extra page 4, 5, and 6 to be like a little bit of a U-turn or a detour to what we were supposed to be doing. But like, they don't have that anymore. Obviously.
I would say you don't think they have a plan A, plan B, plan C, even a soap opera like All My Children or any of those Days of Our Lives. They have to write out. They have to write out months up to a year in advance for like deaths and all that, like story arcs and all that shit. You don't think WWE is doing that basic thing right now? You think they're just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what sticks?
I think a mixture of both, to be honest
with you. That's going to be crazy. Ben, honestly, your honest opinion, watching the product when you can, right now, do you think they are just putting their hands up in the air going, what the fuck are we doing?
I don't, like, nothing is working over there.
Yeah.
Nothing's working. I'm trying to think what, you know what the biggest breakout is, and this is fucking very minimal, is that the Steiner down in NXT. Yeah. I'm seeing his name everywhere popping up. So, I mean, he's either doing really good things or it's because he's a second generation wrestler. But I'm seeing that. I'm trying to think, you know, Roman, we're still, like, you still see good things from Roman, but there is not one other thing. You know how, like, in wrestling, guys, when we're watching, there'll be something that just is popping the boys, like us, like the fans, you know, just something that is. There's nothing in WWE that's popping the fans. There's nothing. There's not a thing. Like, fucking, there's not one thing I go, oh, that's cool in WWE. There's nothing. Oh, Andrade and Charlotte's love story might be the biggest thing WWE's got going for it. And Andrade's not even in there.
Right.
He's in fucking AEW. Like, there's nothing, there's no WWE headlines you're watching. Oh, besides Nick Khan, who might be becoming president of WWE once Vince steps down. That's what I'm hearing everywhere.
I read that too.
You know, did you see The Rock put up that thing as well about him and Nick Khan, that big story where they were little boys in Hawaii when they used to promote down there? And I think it's The Rock with Nick Khan and his wife. Like, that's kind of interesting with all the rumors going around. Nick Khan's going to fucking probably merge that NBC Universal deal, and The Rock will be a big chip that he'll bring with him as part of that. Rock's a major box office star, you know?
Yeah, and he is with NBC Universal because he's got that Young Rock show. So he's
That's what he mentioned dangerously in the thing. That's his award-winning show because he was with the right. Oh, he was with Nick Khan and also one of the writers. And there's all kinds of pictures out on Instagram in the last couple of days since that news has dropped that Nick Khan's going to probably take over as president. They see him before any of the other McMahons are, like, doing it. So
is this going to be before or after the merge?
He's the one that's going to make that merge. Like, he's when it happens, NBC is going to be dealing with him, and he's going to be the president of World Wrestling Entertainment. I see it come. I see that's going to happen in the next 5 years.
Nick Khan's going to be the Jack Tunney.
Yeah. On the take, Tunney. One of my favorite lines Heenan has ever said. Tunney's coming out with the world title at 92 Rumble, and he goes, on the take, Tunney. And it was fucking, I lost this. So and then one time Heenan goes, I don't remember, it's a random event. He goes, hey, Gorilla, last night I seen Tunney climbing in the window of the hotel. I was like, what the fuck? Why did he say that? It's so hilarious.
So random.
You can't do that.
He used to always go after Tunney. I loved it.
You can't do that now with the WWE commentary. Like, AEW commentary could probably do that. But, like, you know, I tell you what, there used to be, like, Cole used to be good with Taz. Then when Taz got with, or when Cole, Michael Cole got with JBL, it seemed like there was a lot of in jokes that like not even us would get it. It was like, oh, look, I'm talking to my best friend over here and like nobody else is getting it. And then now he's with, I mean, you know, you skip ahead a couple, but like Byron Saxton and Corey Graves, it's like, I don't know these people, like him and Corey. I don't get it. I don't get the relationship. Him and Pat are okay. It's a little bit like Cole is like, it's like a Lawler Ross. I feel bad saying that because that's pretty bad on Lawler and Ross if I'm comparing them to a Michael Cole.
Horribly.
Exactly. But like, I'm, you know, like there's a little bit of like, at least like, Pat McAfee could like draw
Pat McIntyre.
Pat McIntyre. He's married. He could bring it in a little bit. But yeah,
did he marry Drew?
Yeah. He married Reba.
Reba. She's on the air on Thursday nights at CW.
Hey there, Pat.
Wow. That's I don't know what's more disturbing, that she still has a show or that Mike knows that.
No, I think what's really disturbing is J Glo had a Reba McIntyre impression, like right in the barrel.
Do you like my red hair?
Why does that sound like Paul
Bearer? Right in the holster to pull it out. Here's my Reba, boys. Take a look.
Wait until it comes out. When I hear Reba, it's coming.
Red fire bush.
Oh my God. Where are we going?
Anyway, we're going. Let's
move on.
Nikon, yeah, Tony. All the cons are going to be running wrestling, and then there's going to be a giant ruse. They're not related.
We are very knowledgeable people.
No, I think we are. Yeah.
However, are Nikon and Tony Khan brothers?
No, no relation. Khan is like Smith over in India. So, yes.
No, that's you know, that's grammatically correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's fair to say, right?
Yes, I think.
No, don't feel bad.
Getting back to the hell were we talking about before
wrestling?
That?
We were talking about Heyman and his contributions.
We were talking about Cole's commentary, because I had a point I was going to like flow in there about commentators. I was going to actually date myself. I miss Joey Styles. I love Joey Styles.
No, you're not.
Me too.
Him solo in ECW was something to listen, but I loved his voice in WWE. I thought he was doing a great job, you know?
Absolutely. I agree as well.
No, you're absolutely right.
Like, he's one that is a viable announcer that they just won't put on air because it's like he said, he's fucking politically incorrect, and he was always proud of being that way. He said what he wanted. He got the boys over. But he was like, if he didn't fucking like you, he said, I don't fucking... Okay, there's this guy, Jason the Sensation in ECW. When he would come out, Joey Styles said, oh my fuck, it's Jason, I got hives, I'm itching. And he would say it all the fucking time. However, that's another way of getting a guy over, how Heenan did it with Hogan. If you ever remember, Heenan hated Hogan. He would fucking bash Hogan every time. But that was part of how Heenan got Hogan over. You know what I'm saying? He always had it coming out of his mouth. There's a lot of ways to get guys over in the booth.
I think they don't do that anymore either.
They
I think
don't.
They're afraid to hurt their product by saying by having a commentator say this guy's bad, yada yada yada, because it's like, oh shit, you're hurting us.
They're not real anymore. It's all scripted. Even from the commentary. Yeah, it's all scripted. Like, we're to the point where Michael Cole. I just watched a video a few weeks ago, and it was Michael Cole that they had videotaped him before one of the shows, or maybe during a commercial break, where he was talking to Vince. And he was taped, but Vince wasn't. You could hear him say, but sir, I said that four times already. Yes, sir. That's all he kept saying was yes, sir. Like the guy can't stick up for himself or say, hey, I've been known this for fucking 30 years. Like, I kind of know what I'm doing here, sir. Uh-oh, what's that? Go fuck myself? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's sad. It's sad.
It's why I loved Heenan so much, and we keep coming back to Bobby Heenan, because he was on the air and there was no one in his fucking ear telling him what to say, you know?
Right.
He was himself. I mean, they did have headsets on sometimes, but fuck, like, he was just off the cuff and it worked so well. Why do you think, like, fucking Vince rode with Gorilla and Bobby for so long? Like, when I think of WWE and I think of, like, what makes me love wrestling, it's watching days listening to Gorilla and Bobby go back and forth about ham and eggers. That's what it was. I loved it.
Well,
like, we never seen a good match. We'd get like Tito Santana versus the Executioner. would be the fucking main event. Oh, that is a little big, isn't it? I know. It's
there's a pop.
Be like fucking Scott Casey or somebody, not Tito. We get Tito on Monday night. You fucking kidding me? And that was great because on Monday night we would only get one superstar a month, like a big Hogan match. And we loved it because we like they didn't shove it down our throats
right.
so much of it.
And everybody was a natural.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone was a natural, everything. And that's and another thing too, which really drawed me into wrestling a lot is that they kind of peeled back the curtain in their commentary a little bit. They kind of made you feel like you were in on the conversation, like you were in on the inside joke. They kind of they brought you in. They were naturals with it.
You're right.
But they also they were human. You could tell they weren't bots. And it seems like everyone that's on commentary now is a bot. Even Pat McAfee, he's getting there, like where he's like, okay, you're Shinsuke's coming out. You're jumping on your desk like that. That wasn't even funny the first time. And I like Pat McAfee, but stop with the jumping on the desk and doing the stupid dancing. It's so cringe.
Oh, cringe.
Cringe.
But, you know, it's kind of like what I think when I see Becky Lynch nowadays. I used to just not like Becky Lynch. Now I cringe when I see Becky Lynch. It just gets worse and worse. I mean, I seen her versus some young chickie coming up on day two with Velvet McIntyre. Super old. It's definitely not Velvet McIntyre. but she just made me cringe with what she was wearing. She was wearing like a fucking crop top and really tight pants, and her hair was up in a bun like she was a disco kid. So I didn't like it. And it turned me off the day one match or day two match, whenever the fuck it's called, whatever that event's called.
God, so dumb. Like
it's really fucking stupid. The way they've made her and Rollins, like I've only seen bits and pieces, but they're super villains. And I probably said this on this podcast before. I just don't like that idea that they're kind of merging WWE with Disney. Like it's kind of what's happening, you know?
Again, prepared.
Yeah.
You know what's truth is? That's why we're having this gray area. They don't want to do anything to fuck with this merge before it happens.
Right. I 100% agree. And I was thinking about that too. And I'm happy you said that, Ben, because it's all business. It doesn't give a fuck what the fans are. They're really solely leaning on, wow, these guys have been fans of WWE since X date. And they're going to continuously, if they're hardcore fans and they want to continuously say that they're a hardcore avid wrestling fan, they're going to continue to watch our product no matter how much shit we put out there. They're still going to talk about it. And here we are. But, man, with social media and everything nowadays, I mean, there's just so much shit talk about it because it's so bad. Like, the only people that really dig this shit are from, like, foreign countries.
I think a lot of their, like, global appeal is coming from overseas. Obviously global and, you know, overseas. But it just seems like it's not for, like, maybe that avid hardcore. And I, you know what? I mean, I think, not to try to say that now during a podcast about wrestling and whatever, I did go from being, like, hardcore. I think I'm like probably light now. I'm not catching every show for anything. If I can get bits and pieces, I'll try to get that in and stuff like that. But they just, if they're going to start hold, they need to hold the audience's attention. And if they're not going to, why should I care?
I mean, there's just nothing. It's, I'll just go back to what I said a little bit ago. There's just not that thing you're like clinging to. Oh, you got to see that in WWE on Monday. There's nothing. There's not one thing. I'm not even turning it on. And that sucks because, I mean, I used to pride myself for a long time that I never missed a Monday.
Yeah.
Through the 90s, I never missed a Monday. Through the 2010s, I never missed a Monday. I moved in, I think, 2014. I missed that Monday. It was the first Monday I'd missed that I could ever remember. And it was, like, appalling to me, right? And now I don't turn it on. Like, it doesn't come on ever. I know, like, unless I see it online or I do not turn Monday Night Raw on, it's that bad. And SmackDown's a joke. Like, I even, if I hear someone's watching SmackDown, I usually, like, crack a joke about it.
And here's
like, really, you know?
Don't you have anything else better to do? Like, watch paint dry?
I know, but, exactly. Like, there's nothing but Roman on Fridays. That's why he's on Fridays, because he's the only thing they got going.
And here's the thing, too. And you can't even say, like, we're all pretty busy. Three of us, and we try to get on to record as much as possible. But as you know, you get older, you get busier. But I'll tell you, if I was this age now, back in 97, 98, 99,
you wouldn't have missed a day.
I wouldn't have missed a fucking episode of Raw. No. I would have said, hey, remember I said I'd work today? Well, I'm not coming in because Monday Night Raw's on.
I got a I got a blackout 3 hours. Oh, well, yeah, 3 hours back then. They, you know, I loved that about Raw back then. Remember that, Ben? Sorry to cut you off, but
remember when
they would do the 2 hour Raw and then it would go after 11, like a half hour.
Oh, like, yeah, like, and, 11, like,
I was
10?
So excited. Yeah, I was like, mm-hmm.
They would drop us a big ass tag match at like 10:57, and we're like, oh, there's not enough time for this. And we're like,
nope.
It's still going. It's like fucking 10, 11, 15. Like all the red fucking Dark Stockings or whatever that show was way over.
Silk Stockings. Silk Stockings. Great show.
Of course, Jimbo knows the name.
My mom used to watch it all the time.
You know, mom, just wait. Wrestling's still
mom,
on.
Mom, Stone Cold's about to come out.
Hot Silk Stockings.
Hot Silk Stockings. Fucking,
I think it was 98, 99. And I'm not, like, someone out there, if you guys know this, there was a fucking great tag match on Raw. It was like an 8-man, right? And the fucking roof blew off the place when Kane and Paul Bearer came out. It was like the Radicals. It was fucking Austin. It was so good. Yeah. I've never heard a pop like that. It was for fucking Kane.
And Paul Bearer.
It was more for Paul Bearer.
It was so good. And now I'm going to have to find it. It's probably one of my
favorites. I know what you're talking about. I remember main events. Like as if it were like yesterday.
A final, like a test for like.
Try and find that one. It's the return of Kane. And it's like an 8-man, and it is fucking phenomenal 8-man, and like the crowd is the hottest crowd ever. Like, it's like when Austin comes out to fucking stun the Rock for Foley to win the title. That pop is like a pop I've never seen before. Like, the whole crowd blows up and everyone's out of their seats. When's the last time you've seen a pop like that in WWE?
Brock Lesnar coming back for the 13th time.
They'll still pop for him, though.
And then they'll boom, and then they'll pop him when he comes back. Here's one thing I want to add, though, to talk about what Ben was saying about, like, you know, he missed that one show in 2014, and he, like, hated himself for it. I hated myself back, I think it was 99, when Raw was, I thought it was going off the air at 11:05, and then I ended up going to bed because I had school the next day. And I remember, I think it was my dad told me, hey, so Raw actually ended up coming back on. I thought he was fucking with me. But Raw came back on the air when HBK and Bret Hart were in the ring, and Bret Hart was in his wheelchair. And I always get so pissed off that I didn't get to watch that live when HBK hit him with the Sweet Chin Music in the wheelchair and knocked him back. That happened on Raw on the USA Network after it was off the air, but it like popped back on because they weren't done with it yet. And then Silk Stockings came on afterwards.
Of course. Well, Silk Stockings has to come on.
Fun fact, HBK was on Silk Stockings the one time when Raw was over. So it's like, I watched it specifically because they were saying HBK was going to be on it.
I seen that Edge is doing something with The Miz. Edge must have hit the worst DDT I've ever seen in my life. It, like, they were in the ring, I think, Friday, and it was a terrible DDT.
Monday.
It was like that. It was that Impaler DDT he does. He brought him up, and they kind of tumbled to the side. I'm like, is that what Edge gives us now? A tumble to the side DDT? No Impaler.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
He's back.
To spin off of that, The Miz is going into the Hall of Fame. Is that legit?
So there was that was the thing that they announced on Miz TV. That's one of the things that I guess we could talk about that happened this past Monday was that I don't know, but see, like, that's the thing. Like, does that mean he's retiring?
Okay, this could work two different ways. One way, they're really stupid and they are putting him in the Hall of Fame. He's a former 2-time world champ. There's lots of accolades to put him in there. Or two, he's going to get so much fucking heat doing this. He's going to be a big-time heel like he has been his whole career. I think you have The Miz make this march to WrestleMania as being the greatest Hall of Famer ever.
Oh.
Like, it would be fucking phenomenal. Get him there and then have one of the big Hall of Famers come out and they have a match. Like, someone who's viable to have a match with The Miz.
HBK?
You know? Someone. Anyone. But I think that would be so cool. Like, he could really – maybe Trips. Oh, is Trips in the Hall of Fame as DX? Taker? Someone. Just say, I'm the great, I'm going in the Hall of Fame. I'm the, like, big candidate.
Well, they're
going
to have somebody. It's going to be Edge.
Yes. The execution. Oh, boy.
But
I remember when I popped when Edge came back, and it's just like, damn, like, what are you doing?
Why?
Don't ruin Edge like this. Don't ruin Edge like this. He was so good before he retired when he had to.
Well, like, speaking about that, retired people leaving, coming back, and all that stuff. Is this the last angle we're going to see with Jeff Hardy, or is this true? Did he leave?
What a segue. I have so many questions about this. I have so many questions something about else. What is going on with Jeff Hardy. My
I just
question,
talked about this today with someone.
Oh, this is great.
So, Ben and Mikey, let me ask you this. So, I watched his Broken Skull sessions with Stone Cold. Seemed very awkward there, but kind of seemed like, hey, like he was, still looks up to Stone Cold. Like, yeah, you were the guy that was over. No one really talked to you. I think maybe because he was too busy getting in the Stone Cold zone. But he had mentioned on there, and I specifically remember this because I remember him smiling about it. He said, he's like, so what's the future for you? What's going to happen? Or something like that. And then Jeff Hardy said, well, man, I'll tell you. So, we got a big plan coming up for me for a storyline. It's nothing I've ever done before, but I'm really excited for it. And I think it's going to hit off really well. We just got to make sure how it works out right. So I'm thinking, I heard that. Is this an angle where he's released or did that in the ring and then said, you know, if WWE's like, we're releasing Jeff Hardy or whatever, because they're releasing a lot of people.
So they're going to make the storyline tie into them release. I mean, they're already bringing that up in promos and shit, though, too, Jake Lowe.
That's what I'm saying.
They were saying, like, oh, you know, we can't, WWE can't afford all these other wrestlers because they're paying for your contract and shit like that.
Right.
But I don't know. Do you think they would go that deep into the woods to be like Jeff Hardy's like swan song is going to be, he's going to be one of those wrestlers who, this is for all the released wrestlers, you know, and all that shit.
Like, maybe it's a fox in their ears telling them to do something different off the cuff. Like, we don't care what it is, but it better be good or else, you know, we're done. Or is it NBC through Peacock or, you know what I mean? Anything like that. Or USA Network. Are they saying something like, hey, you better fucking do something quick or else, you know,
this ain't an angle.
You don't think it's an angle?
This isn't an angle at all, no. They released him because they were trying to send him to rehab. He said he didn't need it. He got released. He's doing signings and everything. If he wasn't doing a signing with RF Video, I would say it was a release. He's doing a signed by Superstars virtual signing with RF Video, so he's not under their contract. He's under a no-compete 90 days. Then on top of that, though, it's coming out now. His last piss test came back clean, so no one knows what the fuck happened.
That's what I'm saying. Could this be an angle?
Here's the thing. If it's not an angle, he has a major lawsuit. They released him on false pretenses. However, it was recommendation based on his drug test or maybe his drug history that he go to rehab. He said he didn't need it and left the company. Because they released him. He didn't leave the company. Do you guys know that little, like, Tad? Did they release him or did he leave?
From what I read, they released him.
Okay, from
what
I saw, a little video back, like, from a live show of him just leaving a match. Right? Huh. Did you see that?
See, that could be the discrepancy where, you know, no one has lawsuits. Because if it's a contract and they broke it because he was like he had drugs in his system or he was going to get released because of that, he has a lawsuit on his hands. But if he left, it's breach either way. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe it's a wash and they'll say because we said we released him because of drug use and there was no drug use, so there's no merit. But his history, we'll just call it a wash and he's released after.
I think it's a work.
I think what's going to happen.
Really
to
On his drug use, though, like really,
they already
did the car accident thing on SmackDown.
They also did the alcohol thing with Sheamus. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Hardy, could he pull this off? I think so. I think I was watching that interview when I saw that shit eating grin on his face. It's one of those things. Maybe he just threw that out there, or maybe he's just trying to see, is anyone listening? Or is anyone watching these? They all tie in together. This is where the conspiracy comes into play. But I honestly think it's a work. I think he's going to come back either Royal Rumble or he's going to do something. He's going to cost something maybe. I mean, Matt Hardy's talking about it too. Like I said, maybe something's going on here because I fully believe if he said, yo, we have something set up, they have a major storyline coming up that's something I've never done before, and we're not going to talk about a TLC and a Hell in a Cell, like a create a match in SmackDown versus Raw. Right. Like they're talking about maybe a very off the wall storyline that could be pulled off specifically by him and maybe some other upcoming guy Who knows?
He said storyline, though, because I did hear that he had a match in mind. He was trying to push in the WWE a new match that hadn't been seen before. And then I've also heard that Jeff is trying to bring the Will-O-The-Wisp character in. But, I mean, I really don't think it's a work, and I think he's going to either show up in AEW with Matt. I don't think he's coming back to WWE. I don't think he fits that NBC Universal mold. And I haven't been watching enough, though, J-Glo, like, to see if maybe this storyline is something that's playing out. And I know they have worked, substance abuse before. I just don't see it happening in 2021, 2022, and Jeff Hardy being a major star that could, bring WWE enough viewers to do something like that.
And I know he did also mention too he wanted one more like good run now that he's back and he's mentally stable and this, that, and the other thing. Like he's ready to go and give it one more shot at 45 or something, he said.
I just mean him showing up in AEW would blow the roof off the place. He's a major star, as not as big as Jericho, but he's on that level. Former world champion. They got all the tag fucking accolades. He's got a lot. Him in WWE, he's just been floundering. He got fucking rolled up by Killian Cross another month or whatever. Right. Like, and where's Killian Cross in his fucking gladiator gear? He's gone.
Yeah, so he's in NWA. Matter. He was with Ring of Honor, but he's working right now with Braun Strowman and EC3. Is something to keep an eye on, because that would be a hell of a faction if that came to like AEW or something.
I'm just like, it's the thing, like, I can see AEW bringing Jeff in, but I also don't see them giving Jeff like, WWE style money. But I haven't seen Jeff do anything in the WWE forever. This is the first I've heard of him with the big release. And I'm like, I know a casual who watches like here and there. And he mentioned, oh, you see that shit with Jeff Hardy. Now they're saying he had nothing in his system. So what's going on? Like, that's a new story that's out there. I don't think they'd be flooding that stuff out there for storyline works,
Yeah, I think there needs to be. No, I think you're right. I think it could be a mix of what J-Glo thinks and what you think. Ben, in that like it was supposed to be something like maybe Jeff had something going, and that's then this shit hit, and then it's like now it's like it's just like a column A, column B kind of merging together, and we're probably not going to get to see that. Whatever
they
Jeff
were
Hardy had
working
in mind,
a storyline with the fucking broken skulls and the leaving the match as Jake Lowe was seeing play out, but then all this drug and substance abuse shit started happening. They just said, let's just wash it. It's, he's not over enough. Let's just, part ways.
When was that broken skull session like taped? Do you remember that? Or because that probably wasn't live when you saw it last weeks ago.
It wasn't live, but I'd probably say since it came out like a week or two ago, I'd say probably like last month.
They might have had it in the can for a while.
They had mentioned a match that he recently had, and they showed it, and it was one of the like matches on SmackDown or Raw, one of them. But it looked like it was recent, so I mean, it could have been if it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago they recorded it, because they weren't even advertising it.
No, they didn't. Usually those Broken Skull sessions, I would even see them pop up and say, we got Jeff Hardy coming up,
Well, they're advertising the fuck out of the next one. DDP, and that's next week.
He's getting all those AEW boys.
Right? But who knows? It's crazy.
It's something we're talking about, so that's interesting enough, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, this is what WWE does. Ooh, let's do this so people talk about it. So they could defer from our fact that our product is shit right now and we can't get anything over.
Well, do you think like when Austin does those Broken Skull sessions with like, when he did it with Jericho, I know he had to clear everything with Vince and Vince was fine with it. Do you think like anybody in the company cares that much that it's like, oh,
no,
you're getting Jericho to come back. How dare you? All this stuff.
No,
they don't care about any of that stuff. They don't even care about what's being said as long. Not fucking saying shit about Vince.
Yeah, and as long as they're getting
stuff
paid.
For content. Yeah, it's all content. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like back in the day in the 90s and the 2000s, they were worried about what was being said. They didn't want the, competition to get anything. The WWE's like moved so far past that they would let anybody say anything, even if it wasn't, I think, a major secret. Someone would prune it and they wouldn't even know where it came out at. because they don't think about it that way. Now it's just like, oh, we got to produce content, content, content. Who cares what it is? Just as long as NBC's fed with content and the network's fed with content, you know?
And this will get people watching it. So, yeah, let's make it look like it's still the way it used to be back in the 90s, but Vince doesn't give a fuck anymore. Vince just shit his pants. We have no idea what's going on right now.
We got to change Vince's diaper.
Yeah. He totally has no idea what's happening anymore. I mean, it stands to reason, however, the company's changing because of, like, where it's getting sold, how it's getting sold, you know? And, you know, out of that happening, we're going to have AEW for probably ever be our wrestling company, which makes sense and is kind of works, you know, I guess. I thought it'd be ROH. ROH always, like, you know, they just never went to that next level, and it's a shame to see them dissipate so badly now.
Yeah, but, they're done.
AEW is just... You know, that's your wrestling company. NBC, WWE will always be like our Disney, or like the kids will always tune into it. Mom and Dad will always take the kids to see Barnum and Bailey or whatever. They'll always take them to see WWE.
What do you think about that? Can we talk about that right now? The disbarment of ROH. The last pay-per-view was this past weekend, and they closed their doors. They're going to have like special events maybe once every... a couple pay-per-views, but for the most part they're, you know, they've released everybody and that show is
kaput. You know what's like super valuable? Their DVDs. Like
that's what I've been hearing.
I have tons of them. I have so many ROH DVDs. I was buying them like constantly, especially their best of collections, and man, are they super valuable now. I mean, great for me, but I'm not like they're my part of my collection. However, whoever can get that tape library, if WWE Network can get it, so they have it there, which they will. Who else is going to outbid them? But imagine if AEW could get it and back some of their history of the guys they have there with that ROH, because there's where Brian, Cole, fucking Omega, The Bucks, so many. They could secure the ROH library and re-release it as like, oh, this is where our stars came from. Fuck, it's going to be amazing, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what I think AEW is slowly going to turn into. They're going to turn into like this is the WWE versus everyone else again, but because Vince McMahon took everyone else out in the indies and all the territories back in the day, it's like they're all coming back against them. And it's like, okay, you fucking took us, that motherfucker. We're going to end up being the kings at the end.
I mean, what I don't understand is why is there so many matches we want to see in AEW and no matches we want to see in WWE? That does not make sense. It doesn't. Because they've been around longer, WWE. There's more stars in WWE. We don't want it. There's nothing. We're like, what the fuck? What match could they give us that we really want to see? I don't. Right. There's nothing. You know, AEW, there's fucking 10 matches I want to see right now. Like, I want them to just have them. And they're just not. They're just so being so slow and so methodically building to them, you know?
I remember getting so excited for WrestleManias because of just the year in review. And it all ends right there. It was like the new year for wrestling and a new slate started. The new history of, you know, the next chapter, so to speak, was going to happen next. And now it just seems like it's just dumb. They're not even worth watching anymore. Like at AEW, their pay-per-views are just top notch, and it doesn't even matter if there's one or two shit matches in it. It's always just ending in a good way, making you want more. And they're doing it right there. It's just everything that they're doing right, WWE is doing wrong. The only thing that WWE is doing right now is they have very well-trained performers in the ring. And AEW does as well, but you could tell there's a lot more flops in AEW than there is in WWE.
No, I would agree with that, man. I really would. I feel like we had this conversation before where it was like AEW is like that car wreck that you kind of just want to watch and see what happens because, you know, like you see two cars coming to an intersection and they both got the right of way, but they're not braking. So you're like, ooh, okay, let's see how this goes. WWE is like watching like Formula One where they do the turns right and they're, you know, they're hitting the angles at a certain, you know, speed so that they can get around that corner right and overtake who they need to overtake. And it's just done flawlessly. But that gets boring. You know what I mean? Like you sit there and you're like, oh, what the fuck am I watching this for?
Again.
In addition to that, though, I think the content that WWE is just putting out right now is just not maybe for us. You know, we're, you know, late 30s, you know, 40s male demographic, that type of thing. I just think they're just trying to age it for kids and for women to be like, oh, look at these hot men. And AEW does the like, it doesn't even have to be a big storyline, a big heavy like 5-star storyline. It's just the wrestling takes it, you know, through there. We saw with AEW this recent one, we had the, you know, Taz's kid Hook came out, you know, everybody popped for that. And, you know, all it was a debuting superstar. That was the story. Pretty much a squash match too, but like, you know what I mean? Like, WWE would have fucked that up 12 times a Sunday, you know, because they would have been adding so many different angles to it, you know?
Right.
But I don't know.
It feels like that we know what they should be doing. And I, you know, a lot of other fans know what they're what they should be doing, and they're not doing it as well. But it just seems like it's just happening way too easily. Like, I'm always contemplating, like, what the fuck is up their sleeve? Why are they doing this? Besides the whole selling it thing. But, like, these guys know what works and what doesn't work. Fuck, they were doing it right for almost over 20 years. Like, what changed? Besides, I can't say Vince going senile is the main reason, unless that's what he wants us to think. But I always feel like there's something else behind it that it's just like, can you guys get risky again like you did back in the early or the late 90s? I don't want you to whip titties out and have King say puppies and stuff. We just get those funny innuendos here and there, like just stuff and good matches and just great storytelling. Like, that's what was so great about wrestling. And they've driven so far from that narrative. It breaks my heart.
I'm there with you in the 90s, J-Glo. Like, I know what you're talking about. But the day's over, you know. They're not going to go back to that stuff. I want it too, man. I want to be watching Nitro and Raw flipping back and forth. I want it to be off the hook every Monday. I don't think WWE gives a fuck about competing. I think that's what's Triple H's job, and he fucked it up. Like, that's what Vince says. And now we got NXT 2.0 tie-dye. And it's fucking not that good.
Now, when they change those colors, man, you're like, ooh, why?
It really made that brand gold. That was just hard, strong, black and gold is always a good color, like kind of like the Heart business was good, and they broke them up. But they kind of like deplete, like, what do they call watered it down? They just watered it down with that.
It was water. Yeah, it was water colors. Yeah.
So what is this? Oh, and Jimmy Rave passed away also at 39 today, I think it was, right? I don't know much about Jimmy Rave, but I know in the beginning of ROH, he was a big name. You know, he did a lot of stuff in there and got them on the map. Yeah, check him out. He had some fucking really great feud with Punk. Jimmy Rave and Punk like really tore it up in ROH. So, yeah, he passed away. He was 30, only 39.
Wow.
Shit.
That's crazy.
That he's an ROH like mainstay, or was at the time. So with ROH going under and that all happening, so he's pretty sad for fans of, you know, honor.
Well, on that note, what I'd like to do right now is maybe cut to a commercial break, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more.
You got something, don't you? We can save that until we come back, but that's what we could tee up.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it, Mikey.
No, you do it.
Okay, Daddy. So we currently, and a lot of people have actually been with us on whether it be our Facebook page or our Twitter page. A lot of people were putting their, not necessarily their 2 cents in, but making their matches as well. And we could actually run through a few of them or just ours. But there's this really, I love these things that they pop up where it says, you know, what was your Attitude Era match? And what they would do is they make something fun of it, and they would pick your day of your birth and the year and the month of your birth.
Well, hot dog, I guess when we get back.
Yeah, we'll run through some. But yeah, we'll be right back and listen to a word from our sponsors. Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice-cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling or whatever because it's that damn good. Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling
your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com.
Welcome back to Wrestling and Whatever. I am your hostess, because I am a hostess, with the mostess, because I don't have a penis, J-Glo, and this is my friends, Mikey Dangerously and the Ben Wayne. Hey. We were just talking about Viagra on the break, and Ben, can you tell our viewers and our listeners the joke that you had? They might appreciate it.
You mean about my uncle, like,
yes,
being addicted, and yes, you know, one taking it harder than my auntie.
Oh,
it's a different show.
I don't know what the Elvis music is playing, but all right.
Was that the Elvis music?
Yeah, it's Elvis.
I thought that was Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire, where he's with the fucking dinosaurs.
That was, yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yes, the beginning. When Elvis would come out in concert, they'd start with that.
Where's he at nowadays? Is he just hanging around?
Robin Williams? Oh. Hit me, Chris Benoit.
Oh, this does have a correlation.
In hell.
wait a minute.
Yeah, they're both in hell.
Let's talk about this. Robin Williams in hell?
Yeah, why? He hung himself. He committed suicide, right?
He's Christian.
Exactly.
You're not even Catholic. You don't believe in that, Mike.
But you don't know that, and you're like, you know, Bible thumping over there, J-Glo?
I don't Bible thump. I Bible stump.
Are you Baptist, J-Glo?
No, I'm Lutheran. I'm Lex Lutheran. No,
he's Martin Lutheran.
I'm Martin Luther.
Martin Lutheran Kinger.
But didn't he say if the glove don't fit it, you must
no,
quit
or
something?
No, that's OJ. That's a different guy.
All right. off the cup here. So, guys. God damn.
Speaking of burning in hell, we have matches. Live. No, we have matches. And we're ready to light them. No, we have a great treat for all of our listeners that listen to this podcast and have listened to us up to this point. This fucking train wreck that has been this podcast.
I love it.
We actually did a little survey. No, I'm just kidding. We actually have this little like thing that your boomer auntie or uncle would put up on Facebook where it's, what's your attitude era match? And it's the day of your month and the month of your month, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's like those ones that your auntie and uncle put up that says, what type of treat would you be at a holiday cookout? And it says, you are a hot dog.
Because
you
your bring birthday.
Because your birthday and your horoscope. You bring lots of joy and you bring lots of mustard, ketchup, and relish on yourself at the parties. But anyway.
Awful.
I'm glad there was that large boss. I just want to take a fucking
cringe.
But anyway, so we're going to do this here with us right now. I know you said you were looking at some that our audience did, but we could kind of do ourselves first if you want.
I did myself before we started recording.
Well, let's start it again. We have the day in the month. So my birthday is the 20th. So I have a match against the Big Show.
But what kind of a match, Mikey?
Well, in December, we have a submission match.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, if I wasn't going to fall asleep before, I would have fell asleep 12 hours ago with any match that Big Show was in. But a fucking submission match? Could you imagine doing
Does
a submission
match? Does he know a submission?
No! Fucking doesn't
you
know
win.
Anything.
You win. Mike wins. Exactly.
Well, he'll sit on you.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know he has to put you in a position. You know,
Well, he'll flip you over and then he'll butt fuck you.
No,
that sounds like a horrible position, actually.
Yes,
so you'll give up because it's so big.
So that was my match in the Attitude Era, and I tell you what, not a fan.
Well, how are you gonna hype it up? How do you promote that match?
I don't. I fucking go under. I bankrupt this shit. I'm not. Do you know why I wouldn't step in the ring against the Big Show? Because I fucking would get sleepy and fall asleep. Anything that done was so fucking tired.
He would turn face and heel also about three or four times before that match.
He would do it like 20 times.
So he'll have like half his face will be painted face and the other one will be painted heel.
Yes.
So this is what I think you should do, Mikey. I was thinking about this for
you. Booking this match for me?
I'm not booking this. I'm giving you some ideas about what you would do for this match. So I'm thinking about you doing a big black dildo on a pole match with the Big Show. I didn't want to say it, but I said it.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm thinking you should do. I honestly think, look at your correlation. You guys have one thing in common.
What?
You guys have one thing in common.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, first off, listen. Listen when I talk to you. Okay, you son of a bitch. No. So, one thing, who managed the Big Show back in the day?
Well, Paul Heyman.
Well, there you go. Feed off of that. So, what you could be doing in your submission match is the lead up to this match, you have such a fandom, a fanboy. You have a hard-on, Viagra, for Paul Heyman. So, you could say you had one of the best minds in the game manage you, and you did nothing with it. So, what I'm going to show you is that Paul Heyman is going to manage me coming down to this match, and then I'm going to beat your ass with him. Or something like that.
So is this basically like a Miss Elizabeth storyline, but with Paul Heyman instead?
Exactly.
I like it. I would
instead of Elizabeth, it'll be Paulie.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. That works for a submission match, though. So you think whoever wins that submission match gets the
services?
Yeah, services rendered.
all the above.
Wow. Okay.
That would make for good TV.
Yeah, you booked my match really good. This would be a fucking still a Sunday night heat match, though.
Oh, not even Velocity.
Oh, my God.
Taboo Tuesday.
No, that's a big event.
Yeah. So
I miss those.
Fuck you. No. And let's see. Ben, do you want to go next? What do you have?
Okay, well, I will go next because I hope the card gets better after my match. Because
so we know my match is first. Your match should be mid card.
Mine's a humdinger.
Yeah, I'm assuming Jay Glow's is going to be the main event. So.
I hope it's someone good, Jay Glow. So what I have in my holster is an Iron Man match. And I mean, when you think about Iron Man matches, we go with HBK and fucking Brett, you know, Flair Steamboat. I, on the other hand, have a match with Test. And let me tell you something. I'm waiting for it. I think I'll just take Stephanie McMahon away from him at that night, and that's where we'll start our feud, right?
That sounds nice.
Now, here's a great idea. I was also thinking your match when you brought it up. Yes. So, we dig him up from the grave.
Oh, no.
Zombie Man match.
And it's not an Iron Man match. But it'll be Iron Man. Yes.
How the fuck does that work? Whoever eats each other's brains first, right?
Or dick.
I'm not
and you win.
To live TV.
Yeah. He's doing that on pay-per-view.
So this is what I'm thinking. This could be a very grotesque match, which might be up your alley, Ben. So this is what I'm thinking. When you come down to the ring, you have a casket with you. And no, this isn't a casket match.
Is this Big Boss Man with
this
the fucking...
What was his name? The dog?
Pepe. Pepper.
Oh, it'd be like goodness. Pepper.
You can
but
eat Pepper?
It's going to be Test. And you can make... No, you're not going to make anyone eat Test. So this is what I'm thinking. You pull his casket down, and then you just lay there on top of the casket, and then you have a ref pin. 1, 2, 3.
And that's how I pin him in the casket? That's how you... Oh, I got to... Oh, it's a reverse casket match. Jake, well, that is brilliant. I love it.
So,
I love everything about it.
Do
sign
that.
Sign me up.
Maggots and all, and worm food all over the ring. All
right.
Maggots on a pole match. Is the boogeyman coming as well?
Like, now, I'm thinking that's a very good idea.
Maggots on a pole.
No.
How are you going to get the maggots on a pole? It don't make any sense.
You put pieces of his body up there.
How do you get the maggots on a pole, Mike?
I have no idea. Well, going a little less grotesque, if we're going to try to build up a huge angle against you versus Test, I liked your idea. And I would play off that. I'd be like, that would be the whole feud with you taking Stephanie McMahon away from him. And then you could either do the Paulie thing where you're like, I'm going to, you know, this is services rendered for Stephanie, or you just beat him straight out and then he just leaves.
This is my hopes, is that I take Stephanie, and what ends up happening, because Tess needs some help to get her back, he employs the Mean Street Posse. I've always wanted to have a feud with the Posse. Shane comes in, the Posse's in. During the Iron Man Zombie Fight match, they all get involved. I smack Pete Gas around, I kick Rodney in the testicles, and I get rid of Joey Abs. And that's how it goes.
Speaking of Mean Street Posse, I've been playing the nerd alert here. Pokemon, a game on the Nintendo Switch. And I always do this with every Ghastly I catch. I name it Pete Gas. So I'm going to get a Pokemon stable with the Mean Street Posse, I think.
Wow. You're going to put that
Posse in their sweater vest.
Yes, exactly.
It's what are you going to name that stable? The fucking Virgins?
Yeah.
NEPA? Virgin. Who plays Pokemon Go?
I do.
I'm kidding. I'm a level 41.
Shut up. Anyway, yeah, I could see that going somewhere. So now for the main event. Let's get into it.
This ain't the main event. Who you face? Let's just throw this out there. So, my month, for all you boomers out there that fell along with us here and followed along, my birthday is in May. And in May is a hell in a cell. And my day of birth is on the 31st, which means I get to have a Hell in the Cell match with the Triple H.
That would be a main event. What are you talking about? Versus us two? I think definitely you got the better person.
I don't know. I think you versus the Big Show in a submission match is something I pay to see. A main event.
No. If anything, I would pay for the storyline that Ben was telling with that whole shit. I would like to see Ben's match main event.
That's what I was saying too. But it could be done well.
But what would you do with Triple H? So this is attitude era. Triple H. She's got hair still.
But if she's with Tess, there's no Triple H in the picture because that was a little prior to the Triple H instead of the Van Helmsley era. So mm-hmm. I'm still right before Trips takes her. He's probably going to beat me up and take her from me and get married at the Chapel of Love.
Mm. You got married at the Chapel of Love?
McFly!
So what are you doing, Jay Glow? How's this match going?
So this is how I think my match is going to play out here. I think it's not going to go like every other match that he's had in the Hell in a Cell, especially with Taker, where he's just setting it up, I'm going to end you, blah, 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 blah. This is going to be something that's going to be more modern day. So Triple H is out now. Let's say I came into the WWE. I have been a wrestling god for like 30 years or something. We'll just say that as part of the storyline.
Okay.
And I'm there, and I was always the guy that was behind Vince's ear. Was never Triple H. I'm the reason why this was successful and that was successful. I go through with it, and then when he renders Triple H's work at NXT and had let him go because he had a quote-unquote heart issue, let's just say I had some reason for that. I was the reason because I was feeding him pills that was making his heart go horribly. And I was, like I said, we're making this a grotesque type of like horrible storyline, as in like, oh my God, why are they? I can't believe they're doing this. I was putting stuff in his food. I was doing this so that way his heart was getting horrible. I got his COVID shot and I put, you know, anthrax in it or something. Something like that. You can't kill the game. But my thing is that I got him to be so sick and tired. I steal his wife from him. I'm
his kids.
His kids call me dad now, and he's just, you know, he's just Hunter to them. Or
his dogs. He took his dogs. His
took
mastiffs.
His dogs too. They're mine now.
Here's my mastiffs.
You're full triple glow now, aren't you?
The triple glow. But I take everything from him.
Are you taking
he did me
from him?
Oh yeah, he's my best friend now. So,
Mike, what about you?
Oh, yeah, I guess I'm out of the picture here.
Fuck that shit.
Hit the road, Jack.
I'm on an island with Paul Heyman somewhere.
You're rubbing his feet and his bald head. You're loving it.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm thinking. I'm literally Triple H. Me and him went to high school together. He did me wrong, so I'm getting him back. So
I'm China from you. Is that the story?
He also took China. I was very, very in love with her oversized clitoris. So
oh boy.
I was penis. So upset that he took my baby penis away from me.
Yeah.
So
this has all kinds of things about you.
So here I am now, and I'm in WWE, and I'm in this main event, and Triple H. He comes out. Everyone's cheering because he's back. I've been challenged and talking about him and how I'm better than him. I took NXT. I made it better. I did this. I did that. He comes out. The crowd pops. And then he...
Wait. You know what your NXT takeover could have been? Instead of NXT 2.0, could have been NXT 2.0 Glow.
Ooh. Or NXT awesome. 6.9. Yeah.
Nah. Rey Mysterio on the logo.
Yeah.
Booyaka, booyaka.
60 days.
6.9. And then Jess Franklin would be there too.
Yes.
And then he comes out, crowd goes wild, and then he says, "You know, you son of a bitch, you know, you never told anybody." And he's like, and he points him to the Titantron. Take a look at this. And it's just like somebody following me around, putting stuff in his shit, in his drink. Me talking to Vince. Like, it's just a 15-20 minute video clip of him catching me doing this, doing that, looking at him with an evil eye, and then just making sure, like, Triple H, tell Paul he's not needed here anymore. We have other plans we're going to go with. And just make me look like the biggest piece of shit ever. And then him saying, "I challenge you to a match in the Hell in a Cell." And then he absolutely kicks my ass and then takes everything away from me. And if I lose, I leave NXT, WWE, his family alone. I have to sign off on this. You know, restraining order, all the different types of shit. And then it all works
out.
You can't touch the kids. They're not mine no more. I have to move away. I have to move to like Cuba or something.
Wow, you're getting out of the fucking
country. This is quite a storyline.
That's what I'm saying. You got to go big.
20 years in the making, Ben. What do you think of that one? That's not a main event. That's a...
is fucking why is no one talking about Triple H stole Stephanie from me first?
And that could be another thing.
So everything ties up. Okay, there you go. Well,
so my question for you guys. Yeah, it kind of is a shitty card. There's really no build. I mean, maybe this is harder than we thought. So here's my thing. What type of pay-per-view would this be on? An insurrection?
An insertion.
Yeah, insertion.
And it's just like
it's rebellion. I totally think it's rebellion taped in the UK and it's like played in the US at 3 a.m. You know?
It's caught after reruns of Jerry Springer.
Now, here's the thing. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Go? Okay. Yes, Daddy. So this is what I want to ask you guys. We were given our birth month and days, obviously, without, you know, anything of our power. We were just born that day and in that month.
Body, my right. I was born whenever the hell I wanted to be.
So if it was like that, Mikey, and I'll start with you first.
Looking at the day list.
And month, all right. What day and what month would you be born? And then maybe me and Ben will like try to look through it quick to see.
Oh, no, I'll just I the one I would choose out of all these people, I'll just do that. I think that's easy. If it was just, I was saying this on the group chat, if it was just three more days, if I was on the 23rd, I would love to have a match against Mr. McMahon, but I didn't look at the months too much. So I think Mr. McMahon and I in a, first blood match. He never did a first blood match, did he? He just busted open real nice against Undertaker in that one match. That
Zach
was a Barry
Allen
match. Oh, Zach Allen, yeah. Yeah, no, I think a first blood match against Mr. McMahon. But this is Attitude Era Mr. McMahon, you know?
I'm shocked bras and panties aren't on here.
Well, there's not a lot of women on here. China?
Yeah, there's China, Lita, Big Boss Man.
Edge.
Edge?
What about you?
Sable?
Sable's on. Sable would have been a match I would have had against, yeah. Is Sable on here?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, Sable in a hardcore match. You're not going to know what type of hardcore it is. But
what about First Blood and if she's on her period?
I win. the ref checks his, the ref checks the calendar.
Is pull her britches down, Mike. That's
no.
It.
No.
My God.
No.
instead of puppy, pussy, pussy, pussy.
Why is that?
Is that JR? That's JR saying it.
If Lawler was a puppy's guy, I guess JR would be saying pussy.
Pussy, pussy, pussy.
What about you, J-Glo? What are you looking at all that stuff? What would you say?
If I'm looking at this list, I mean, where's the triple threats at? Because I would love a triple threat. Now, that's tough. I mean, I was looking at this list a lot. Yeah. Mr. McMahon would be a great match, but if I was to go different here, personally, I would want a... Ah, man. A street fight?
Okay.
And I would love a street fight with Eddie Guerrero.
Wow. That's interesting.
I think that would be fun. My second match I would want, 100%, would want a hardcore match with Steve Blackman.
I just saw Steve Blackman's name on there. I was like, man, that's a good – that would be a good opponent.
Or Blackman? The Edge. Yeah. He's number one. I would want a sex match with Val Venus.
There's no sex match.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. If it was on there, that would be the number one.
I mean, I guess
what's a sex match?
Yeah,
like what Edge and Lita did on Raw that one night when they had that expose. Yeah,
you're bridging new territory there, J-Glo.
I would want him to talk to me like he used to came out
to officiate.
No, I want Rico. I want Eric Bischoff in that fucking. I want Eric Bischoff in that fucking old man outfit to marry me and Val Venus. But no,
okay,
I mean,
well, that's not what I would pick. But you know, we go with it. We're equal opportunity people here at wrestling, or whatever, and we support all kinds of lifestyles.
We do, but that's
like
what I'm
PBS.
Saying.
PBS,
PBS. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Public Bar Broadcasting Station, PBS Channel 44.
That's not a sexual diverse orientation, J-Glo. I think J-Glo thought that was like a
that was like the new, like, you know, bisexuality.
Oh, is he? Oh, he's PBS.
I know. Are you gay? No, I'm just PBS.
Yeah. So that's what he thought. Boy. That's where his brain
I used to be PBS, but I don't talk about it anymore.
Now I'm ABC.
Curse.
But the reason why I'm on an ABC. But the thing I would want in that sex match with Val Venus, I wouldn't want to do any sexual acts. I would just want him to talk to me in bed. Be like, how his promos used to be like,
why is he,
you know what the he's saying, like, so you know, I conquered again. Or I said, they call New York City the Big Apple. So in the Big Valboski's world, everything's bigger down there. You know what I mean? Like, when he would say stuff like that, I used to laugh at stuff like that. And I would just laugh at him while I play with his chest hair.
That's all you want to do.
That's all I want to do. Fantasy.
Yeah.
All right, V. Ben Wayne, do you have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, who are you facing?
I'm going to go with Mankind and a hardcore match for sure.
Oh, that's nice. How about a boiler room brawl match?
That sucked. I always thought, but you know what? They did really throw it at each other and threw, you know, they really went at each other and got hurt in a couple of different people, like ways in that match. It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't too good either. The lighting sucked. Maybe if they had better lighting, right?
I think that would take you out of it. Then you'd be like, wow, this boiler room is, like, nice. Like, why do they have all these lights in here?
Like, you gotta make this equipment looks new. Is this?
Yeah. They gotta make it, like appeal.
Like, I couldn't see what the fuck was going on. That's what I'm trying to say.
You want to put lights on a boiler room, and you'd be like, wow, look at this.
A broiler room. Oh, they're making steaks here, too.
This burger is beautiful.
Beautiful. Bodacious burgers.
And then I do an Iron Man with Angle.
Ooh.
For sure. And I think maybe a TLC with Jeff.
Yeah, that seems like a give me.
And what's on the like what type of titles on there? Is it a bottle of liquor or a bottle of pills?
With Kurt Angle. Viagra on a pole match, actually.
Hey, didn't you meet Kurt Angle in person there, Jagle?
I did. He was awesome.
Wasn't he a nice guy?
He was. He said, hey.
Don't talk about him fucking
I'm talking
around.
About Jeff A. I'm talking about, yeah, Jeff Angle. Jeff Hardy, not Jeff Angle.
I thought you said Kurt Angle.
Yeah, not Kurt Angle. No, I love Kurt Angle.
Who was the TLC? You know, Jeff Hardy?
He won the Olympics with a broken freaking neck.
Broken fucking neck.
That's what he wants to say. I know it. But no, this is what I'm trying to say here, guys. Now, come on, man. It's Joe Biden. I'm here.
What's he talking
about? Come on, man. So I'm talking about Jeff Hardy, TLC, oxycodone is on the fucking pole. He's got
to
take
it. It could be in the briefcase. It doesn't have to be on a pole.
Yeah, it's like a briefcase filled with just drugs and booze and like paint.
What would he do with the paint?
Paint his face.
Oh, okay.
He loves art.
So before or after he takes the pills?
After.
Oh, my God.
After, so he can see what he's thinking.
Oh, fuck.
I was going somewhere with this. Oh, Kurt Angle. Yeah, oh, yeah, I met him. He's great.
Yeah, you put
yeah, he put me over.
No, with the TLC match, you put fucking Karen Angle on the pole.
Who's Karen Angle?
Not Karen Angle. Who's Karen Jarrett? Who the fuck was he fucking around with? Who's Jeff Jarrett?
Oh.
Jeff Jarrett married Kurt Angle's wife.
Right, Karen, right?
Karen Angle, like you said.
I was
yeah.
right. What the fuck, J-Glo?
I didn't know that.
So you put Karen Angle on a pole, and you make Jeff Jarrett go against Kurt Angle for it.
But he's not...
What?
I would have made Jeff Jarrett take on Kurt Angle every week for the rest of their lives just because he took his wife away from him. I would have never. Every promotion they were in, I'll say either Karen Jarrett on a pole or you guys can't be booked here. And then it would have forced them to go around the horn and be friends and all live together in some kind of weird triangle match.
Ooh.
And then they'd have a triangle threesome in the bedroom.
That's what I was talking about. That was the innuendo there, J-Glo.
No, he had to bring it out.
Kurt Angle goes to grab fucking Jeff Jarrett's ass. He turns around and says, behind. Don't piss me off, slap nuts. And he slaps his nuts off his forehead.
This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Yeah. Anything or likenesses is particularly for fun and entertainment. Don't sue us, please. Yeah,
for your kids.
These views expressed by the three dimwits on the air do not represent our actual true feelings on these life. People, if we saw them in real life, yes.
Yeah.
If I see Kurt Angle in real life, I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm sorry.
Like, when I met Marty Jannetty, I got his autograph, and he didn't tell me any funny sex stories. He was actually a professional gentleman.
Well, see, when I met fucking Ric Flair on the airplane, he fucking twirled his penis around. Oh, so
did he tornado you?
He tornadoed me. I was like,
whatever. I thought that was a helicopter.
He tornadoed.
He gave me a tornado.
Okay,
first off, I heard Ric Flair's dick is massive. At least that's what Tommy Dreamer said.
Was that before or after he stuck up for him on that fucking Dark Side from Hell?
I was gonna say, was that before or after he went and tried to shoot fucking Paul Heyman in the back of the head at WrestleMania?
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that too. Can you imagine?
That would be nuts.
What would have
highest
happened?
Buy rates? Highest buy rates in WrestleMania. People would be tuning in, fucking see that show.
But look what would have happened though.
I know.
To segue
but
into some wrestling info, did anybody hear about that Hannibal? What he did to that referee?
Oh, the guy that does those interviews?
I think it's that guy, and he's been fucking all over being an asshole for years, like hurting guys on the indies. And he stabbed a referee. He went into business for himself and ripped an artery in the ref's head.
Wow! Did he kill him?
No, the ref got rushed to the hospital. He was choking in a pool of his own blood. They released him, right? He had to be rushed back. He started bleeding again. From there, did you see how bad the pictures are, Mike? Check it out. If you look it up. It's real.
I'll try to see. Yeah, that's
pretty nuts.
Bad.
Hannibal, you said?
Yeah, his name's Hannibal. And a couple of years ago, he had a face-off with someone that was legit at a press conference or something. And then he's been done that in the ring a couple of times. Like, he's done the whole New Jack thing where he hurt someone or gone into business for himself, and then he plays it off as being a kayfabe. Whatever this event was, Kevin Sullivan was the booker and told Hannibal to play it off like it was a work. But he stabbed the guy good in the head.
Wow.
He fucked him up, and he caused an artery to rip in the guy. He ripped an artery in the dude's head, the referee.
Jesus.
Damn. They said the referee wasn't even ref in the match. And I don't know how this ref got hit. Either he ran in the ring. You know how like multiple refs run in or something sometimes to stop stuff? And I guess
to break
he was part of that. Yeah, I think he was part. I think he was part of that. I'm not 100%. But the artery is absolutely true. And the fucking stuff was gross. You should see how bad he looks.
Ooh. Well, that's when you're going into business like that, that's like nuts. I don't know. Like, I never really understood that type. Like, cause it's scripted to a point. Like, I don't, you go and you do that shit. I'm like, well, you're not, it's not being real. You're just being a dick, you know? Like, I don't know.
Oh, Devin Nicholson. Yeah. He's the Canadian YouTube personality for Hannibal TV. Yeah. It's 9 hours ago. Lando Del Toro stabbed by wrestler Devin Hannibal Nicholson at World Class Pro Christmas Star Wars. What the fuck type of show is this?
Wait, Star Wars? They're doing a Star Wars? Didn't WCW do Star Wars?
Back in the day, WCCW, which was World Class Championship Wrestling, ran a great event that was called Star Wars. I don't know how they got away with it because it was when Star Wars was big. So they would run this all the time. It was an annual Christmas or Thanksgiving show. So that's probably what it was, something to do with that. Was it in Texas?
Let me take a look here. Yeah, Texas, Irving, Texas.
Perfect. Yeah, I figured if it's called Star Wars, that's why. But it is funny. I always thought, fuck it, Star Wars. And when you watch that event, there is like kind of space stuff at the beginning. Like, it's real lame space stuff, but it is.
They really tried to like
yeah, they tie into that. Yeah. Cash in on it. And they called it Wrestling Star Wars or something, right? Mm. But yeah, it was bad news. Like, the pictures were horrible that I seen. And it did kind of make big news that it happened because he almost killed him.
Wrestler Hannibal violently stabs ref in match and then claims ref was quote unquote hired to bleed.
Yeah, that Kevin Sullivan's story going around told him to say that, to say it was part of the work, part of the gimmick, but it wasn't. That referee would have took those shots.
No. That's Kevin Sullivan, you know. First he kills Chris Benoit, and then he.
There you go, Mikey. I tell you, this guy.
A conspiracy theory.
And on that note,
we're gonna leave on a conspiracy note.
Absolutely, making the people.
Letters next year, you know. Yeah, that, right?
I hope we're all so. Letters. That says you guys have been signed. Well, actually, we're signing the Ben Wayne. The rest of those guys are fucking idiots.
I don't go anywhere without you two.
Well,
if
all
you're right. Wrestling, I'm wrestling. You're wrestling. We'll be the second six man there is.
It's wrestling and
whatever.
What
would we be called?
What's that? I don't know.
Wrestling and whatever. What the fuck? Yeah. That's our name.
No, what's our tag team name?
Wrestling and whatever. Wrestling
no, whatever. We can't be
you
that.
You just make it the podcast.
It's the podcast. No.
That lame. That's lame.
He doesn't even want to promote us.
I think it would be the John Ben Glow. Wayne with the Bollywood boys.
We'd be Bollywood boys?
Yeah, and we would go literally off the cuff and we would probably get canceled. Yeah.
I'd rather you be the Van Buren boys.
We could be the Robin Williams boys. We'll come out with nooses around.
I want to be the Scolari boys.
How about we be Sandusky's kids?
Sandusky? Oh my goodness.
And on that note.
Oh boy.
John. And on that note, Mike's got to use the restroom.
Once you
and
bring up
the FBI will be there any minute.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
All right. Ben, anything you want to plug?
Well, I don't know if I can follow up a plug after a Jerry Sandusky comment.
But you got to let it, like, bleed out for 5 minutes, and then you can start plugging shit. That's what happens.
What, your ass?
That's what Jerry Sandusky did.
Oh, zing!
Those poor kids.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking Joe Pa didn't do a damn thing.
Roses are red, violets are blue, Penn State still sucks, and Joe Pa knew.
We're going to have some angry Penn State fans.
I hope so. You know what they say? Any publicity is good publicity.
Is this a Wrestling and Whatever podcast?
Yeah. Our viewers just went from 2 to 4. We doubled it, boys.
Oh, boy. So, are we plugging anything? Well,
yeah.
It's the holiday season, and
the whoop-dee-doo, and Dickory Duck, and don't forget to suck on my cock.
No.
Guys, if you haven't told or seen it by now, I had about 4 Broken Skull IPAs since we've been recording.
Holy shit!
You've been pounding them like
I've been pounding. I'm shocked I haven't burped. These are so good. People have been asking me, hey, what do you want for Christmas? Let me ask you guys before you get off the line here. What do you want for the holidays? What is your thing that you want? We're grown-ass men. What do you want?
Good peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That's all.
Okay. Besides a fucking horrible response to that, Ben, what do you want?
Financial stability, but I know that's like, you know, a big one. But I'll take some Beats earbuds.
Ooh. Beats earbuds. They actually have a lot of good sales on Amazon. I've been seeing for them lately. So,
oh, you know what's cool? If you're looking for some like wireless buds, I just seen the Amazon version of like the AirPods and the Beats buds went on sale for like $50, and they're supposed to be good. They work with like Alexa and Google and all that shit. And if they're made by Amazon, I imagine they're going to be pair quality. You know what I mean? Like their stuff's pretty good.
Yeah. So what I want for Christmas, and I'm happy you guys asked me.
I didn't get a chance.
No, I'm just fucking around with you. I want more of this beer.
Broken Skull IPA?
That's literally all I've said. Anyone say, what do you want for Christmas? I don't
Sabatini's, know. Sabatini's, dude. I was at Sabatini's this past weekend.
What'd you have, Mike?
I got a small pie, and I tried plain. I love Sabatini's pizza personally. I love it with black olives. That's the only pizza I would put black olives on because it just with the way it pairs with the sauce,
Their crust is very good too.
I want Sabatini's. I haven't had it in a while, but so I gotta go over to 44 and I think you gotta buy it at the bottle shop to pay with a card, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I always thought you couldn't pay with a card there, and I never carry cash.
At the other end, you have to pay cash. But
always said, "Oh, we don't accept cards." And I was like, "Fuck!" Then I can't get pizza there. But now I've been told you go to the bottle shop and pay, and you're good.
But they had this really good beer on draft. Yeah. It was a papaya, pineapple, sour beer. No. It was so freaking good. It didn't even taste like beer. It was like,
oh, awesome. Can you pick it out?
I don't know. I wish I got a 10 ouncer instead of a 4. I ended up like doing like little, I felt like Randy Marsh. I was doing little flights of beers because I was like, they have all these. I'll just get little samples, 4 ounces. I got that one and another one. The other one was like some sort of red something. It wasn't like the best. It was okay. But that pineapple papaya sour, it was like the best. I would have guzzled that off of tits.
Mmm. That papaya beer sounds really good, though.
Yeah, I wish if I could find it in a bottle, I'll try to bring it up next time or whatever.
Yeah, can you find the name for me of that? It does sound good.
Oh, I'm trying to think of the name. It was something ridiculous. Like, it was like,
Sea Dog?
No, it wasn't Sea Dog. It was something like Fernando or something like that. I have to look. It might have been Fernando, to be honest with you.
Fernando.
Alberto Del Rio's ring announcer. Or no, he was Ricardo Rodriguez. I don't know why I thought Fernando.
What?
Never mind.
Alberto Del Rio.
Fernando.
I used to love when he would say El Patrone. Oh, he never stopped saying that after a while, but it was the best.
Like, oh, you said it was a papaya pineapple, right?
Yes. They might still have the menu up.
Claremont?
Nope. Wasn't Claremont. Is that the only one that's saying that?
Area 2?
No.
Oh, Fandango.
It was Fandango.
Yeah. Toppling Goliath Brewing Co. Pineapple Papaya Fandango.
Dude.
Just send me a picture of that.
Okay.
I would become a really bad alcoholic with that.
I'll tell you what though, these Broken Skull IPAs, I don't think it's because I'm a huge mock for Stone Cold. I just really like these beers. Like when I went down to the beach this year, that's literally all I took. That and the Warheads beers that me and you had.
Oh, those were good too.
I saved the two best ones and I'm happy. I sucked them down like a whore on nickel night, you know what I'm saying?
A whore on Beale Street.
Yeah, but it was really, really good. I enjoy drinking these beers, and they're very high alcohol too, which is really good. But
yeah, which means you don't need a bunch to get you.
No, you get a 4-pack and you're good, like I am right now.
Yeah.
But on that note, boys, promote anything you'd like. I personally would say to anyone, we had a lot of people. With this picture that we just went over with the different matches, the month and the date, we've really gotten like boomers with this stuff, haven't we? With these pictures of, hey, what's your birthday and are you a hot dog today? But I personally had a really good time. There's a lot of people on our Twitter talking about this. So that was exciting to see people interact with this that I have never seen before. So very cool. And the same thing on Facebook. We had a lot of people talking on the old book with everything that's going on, what their match would be like and how much of a squash would be. just good quality fun of people getting in contact with each other and talking. But as what I'm trying to segue into is, you could go to our Facebook page, Wrestling and Whatever. Feel free to join, or if not, whatever. Same thing with Twitter, at Wrestling and WE. Go on there, join up. We share some good shit sometimes, and feel free to message us if you say, hey, your show sucks dick. This is what would make it better if you talked about this stuff. So we'll go with that. All right.
Yep. That sounds good to me.
And on that note, you guys, thank you for being a part of this special presentation. We won't be back next week due to J-Glo. J-Glo's got to be a scumbag, and he's got to work an overnight shift next Tuesday.
Shit. I want to, like, okay. We, like, what the hell? Like, either tell J-Glo to quit his job or come forward podcasting full fucking time, or tell him to hit the bricks. I'm tired of this guy. Mikey, you take it from there.
Mikey left and came back.
What?
I think Mikey's having some technical difficulties.
Did he? He fell asleep.
Yeah, I think he passed out. He had too many peach papaya.
Peach papayas.
But yeah, next week, unfortunately.
Can you hear me now?
Hear you. Oh, we can hear you now.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I dropped. No, I dropped. Oh God. I guess we're gonna peel back the curtain just a little bit. I'm trying to put my cat away.
Uh oh. Okay. Playing with his pussy.
My pussy got out, and so I was trying to put it.
It's so hairy.
Mike, don't let your pussy hang out all over the place.
No, I have two pussies, all right? I have two pussies and a quack. And sometimes my pussy...
He's swimming in it.
My pussy gets out, and I have to put it back, and it's just a... My two pussies don't get along. I'm trying to make sure that they're okay with each other.
Do they scissor?
Sometimes, you know, depends.
So the pussy got out. He backed out. The cat pulled the plug.
Yes.
And then he plugged it back. The good cat plugged it back in.
I think this is the baby one. This is my small pussy. Yeah, this is my small pussy. You know, in the middle of the night, they both look the same, too. It's nuts. Just two black pussies just running around.
Stop right now. Saying.
What? That's not offensive.
So what we're trying to tell the audience here before you came in here, blatantly talking about your vagina.
Wait a minute.
we're next week. We're taking a break, unfortunately, because my scumbag self has to work a double that day, and I won't be on until 8 a.m., which is when we never usually record because we're doing other things at that time. You know, adult things. I won't be ready available to do it, so I think we're going to take maybe another after next week. We'll be back the following week, and we'll close out the year.
Yeah,
I believe that's good. The 27th or the 28th, we said. So we'll be doing that. And then my apologies for not being able to be here. I would try to do it from work, but the Wi-Fi there is dog shit. So I can't really – and there's no connection whatsoever. So it would be really tough, and I'd be cutting in and out all the time. So, but we'll pick back up in 2 weeks. Hopefully something crazy happens that we could talk about.
Or, no pay-per-views or anything, right?
I don't think so.
We could read the card off for the whatever the fucking WWE one is, like the one day or
year one.
Day one, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, day one. And then we could go from there. So on that note, boys, Ben, the Ben Wayne, Mikey Dangerously, J-Glo, we out, and we'll see you up there.